8:08, you're listening to Alison Ferns on BBC Sussex and BBC Surrey. Time to take a look through the papers with our lunch break guest. Today it's Amy Harrison, a copywriter and content trainer from Brighton. So we had John Clegg on earlier from Britain's Got Talent, but you've never seen Britain's Got Talent because you haven't got a TV.
No, I haven't.
Say it with such a surprise and shock. Well, you mean you haven't got a TV?
Well, we're the same. My husband and I, we tend not to tell people. It's almost like saying how you vote. You know, it's gonna cause discussion. It's gonna cause controversy. Yeah. I haven't had one for years. And when we both moved into the flat together, he didn't have one. In fact, one of the funny things was, it was a Friday night. We only just moved in, so the flat was pretty bare, and we were having a few drinks, we were celebrating, and the TV inspector came round, the TV licence guy, and we opened the door, and you could see he was used to a bit of hesitation, and we'd had a couple of drinks, so we're like, no, come on in, we haven't even got a TV, and he looked like, is this a setup? I want to go in? We brought him in, and the place must have looked strange, because it was bare, there was nothing, and we were saying, do you want to check out this room? Do you want to, you know, come in? Well, honestly, we haven't got a TV. And he just looked petrified, and he backed out. He was like, no, I'll mark it down that we don't have to come for another 2 years.
Run for the hills. It's interesting. I think there will be a lot of people listening who, in a way, almost envy you the fact that you don't have a TV. I think it is quite a brave decision to...
I guess it was incremental. It wasn't making a statement, because I can't even remember how it happened. And then you do just get used to it. And then you get used to, you know, you've got things like iPlayer. You can watch things after the fact. So if someone recommends a really good series, then you can watch it.
I suppose with the dawn of the iPlayer, actually having a TV isn't perhaps the necessity that some people thought it once was.
Yeah, but we do. We get nostalgic for it. And sometimes if we go away, the most exciting thing is having a TV in the hotel room.
Oh my gosh,
it's a TV and we can watch whatever we want because we're adults, and then we'll forget to turn it on.
The fact you don't have a TV in your life, do you think it means that you do more? Because I suppose that's why I kind of envy it. I think actually if I didn't have a TV, then I suppose the temptation to sit there on the sofa and watch hour after hour wouldn't be there. So would I, as the old programme used to say, get up and do something less boring instead?
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. We are perfectly capable of wasting good time that we could be using for other stuff. I suppose of an evening, I'm trying to think. There are times when we think it would be nice just to kind of switch off and just watch a bit of TV. But we do tend to be more internet based, so we will get hooked on reading things and into
I feel better now then. Yeah, I was thinking, oh, look, they haven't got a TV. They're probably, I don't know, volunteering at the soup kitchen.
Yeah, but doing craft works, you know, building houses out of matchsticks.
Weaving and baskets. Yeah,
No.
You're just obsessed with your computer instead. Yeah. Okay, I feel all right now then. Good. Now, the other things we're talking about today are impersonations. So we had John Clegg on from Britain's Got Talent, and he does fantastic impersonations of people. Is there anyone you can do? Have you got a party piece?
And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking it was never something I really did. And I remember being, I was about 16, and I was at a work barbecue, and I got a dare to do an impression, so I felt under pressure to do it. And the only thing I could think to do of was one of my boss, because I thought he wasn't there, but I thought he wasn't there. He was. I just couldn't see him, and that's never a good idea. And that, even now, I'm cringing and I'm feeling uncomfortable. And that put me off impressions.
That reminds me, when I was at school, I think it was middle school, Fitzherbert School in Woodingdean. I remember getting caught doing an impression of a teacher once, but she was such a good sport about it. She loved it so much that she kind of made a thing of it. And one afternoon, I did a performance. She got all the kids to sit while I went out, wig and all, and did a complete performance of her.
That's brilliant. And now you're here on the radio. See, so was, all kids was, should
yeah,
do this.
Absolutely. She was obviously instrumental in my career choice. Yes, I'd love to hear from you this afternoon. Do you have an impersonation that you do? Go on, be brave, come on the radio and share it with us this afternoon. The number 03459 570057, or you can text the word radio followed by your message to 81333. We're also talking about celebrity selfies. Obviously, it's in the picture in the paper today of Breakfast TV host Susanna Reid having her picture taken with Tom Cruise on the red carpet. In fact, some of the papers being quite scathing, actually.
Yeah, they've been a bit mean. I mean, if it was you, would you resist in the, you know, for professionalism, or would you think, it's Tom Cruise. When am I going to do this?
It's interesting. I was having this conversation with my colleagues earlier. I said, oh, I think it's a bit sad. I wouldn't want to go up to a celebrity and say, oh, can I have a photo taken with you, please? And then Jess, one of the producers here, did remind me how after a couple of white wine spritzers at the Sony Awards a few years ago, I did collar two people. I collared, the name's gone out of my head now, Radio 1 DJ. What is his name? Does the afternoon show. I can't believe
Steve Wright?
His name. No, on Radio 1.
Oh
my gosh, I can't believe his name's gone. I've lost it. It'll come back to me.
Yep.
Danny Wallace was the other one.
Okay.
Author, who I think is fantastic. I had my picture taken with him. Scott Mills.
Yes.
There we go.
Yes.
Sorry, Scott Mills. Scott Mills and Danny Wallace. Yeah, I did have my picture taken with them. But whether I would do it stone cold sober, I don't know. Have you done it?
I did do it. It was on a train. It was quite a low-key selfie, though. It was quite a cute one. It was and it was back before they were called selfies. And I was on a train coming back from London, and we were near the first class carriage, and I saw a guy get in, and I was saying to my boyfriend at the time, I said, I think that was one of the Ottomans. But I'm not sure which one. I saw the teeth. And I went through, I picked up the courage and went through, and it was Jimmy Osmond. And I asked if I could have a photo taken. And he was so sweet. I mean, he'd just come from Panto. Well, I think it was Panto or self-tan, but he was bright orange, bright white teeth. And he was really nice about it. And I'm glad that I did it. Like, I look back at that photo and it does, yeah. We're both just grinning away. But I suppose it's
puts
the...
me off. I'm worried they'll say no, I suppose. And that would be really awkward. Oh, yeah. Can I have my photo taken with you? No.
Yeah.
Get lost. Oh, okay then. Thank you for that. I've been asking for your celebrity selfies this afternoon. If you've ever had your picture taken with somebody famous, you can email me alison.ferns@bbc.co.uk. Hannah has emailed me a picture that she had taken a few years ago when a lovely lady, she says, off the radio surprised her on her doorstep. So I clicked on the picture, and yes, it is of me. And this is such a female trait, but the first thing I think when I look at it, oh my gosh, I look so fat. Hideous. I look hideous in this picture, Hannah, but thank you so much for sending it through. I'd like to see your examples of celebrity selfies. The email address, alison with two L's, .ferns@bbc.co.uk, and we'll put it up on our Facebook page, though I might not put that one up, Hannah, because I hate the photo. Sorry about that. This has been posted on Facebook by Runa Astra. She had her photo taken with Dieter Von Teese, the burlesque artiste. She also had Dieter sign her hip, and then she had it tattooed on.
Oh, no.
Wow. She is a fan. You didn't decide to do that with Donny Osmond?
No, I didn't.
No tattoos. Amy Howison is our lunch break guest today, here to take a look through the papers for us. One story we've been discussing is this survey that has revealed 8 out of 10 new mums listen to music as they give birth, with Diana Ross's Ain't No Mountain High Enough the top choice. So I've been asking, what music was playing when you were in labour? What was the song playing as your little one came into the world? And I've also been asking for your suggestions as to the song you wouldn't want to hear whilst giving birth. So, for example, Tony in Shoreham says, how about this for a song not to play whilst giving birth? Status Quo's Down the Dust Pipe. Yeah, I wouldn't fancy that one. You don't have children, but is it something that would appeal to you, do you think, if you were in the throes of labour? Would
I'm in two minds, because I love music. I'm a big music lover. But I also know that music has that powerful association. You know, so when I hear this song, oh, I'm transported back.
Yes.
How many times do I want to relive back to labour? Every time I hear this song.
Yeah, that is a very good point. Yeah, I mean, I was saying, I did bring some CDs with me, but I never got.
And your travel scrabble.
I heard that. What was I thinking? Like, as if. Really?
Well, don't you find that it's a bit like packing for a holiday, and you're.
Yeah, just in case.
I always pack a gym kit and trainers. Yeah. I never go running on holiday.
I know. But just in case.
Yeah, just in case.
The first story you found in the papers for us.
Okay, so apparently, if you change the parting of your hair. And this is aimed at women, and particularly the lady in the story had short hair. If you change the parting of your hair, it can take 5 years off the way you look.
Keep talking.
Yeah, but and if you get it wrong, it can add 7 years.
Ah, okay. Mm. So what's the right way and what's the wrong way?
Okay, the very, very wrong way apparently is centre parting.
Okay.
Too severe, add 7 years.
Have you got centre parting going on?
Oh, I don't do anything with this. I've long given up. My hair and I, we have an understanding that we have a kind of tussle in the morning. It's a vain attempt at styling, but right. It does what it wants to do in
okay.
the end.
Okay, okay.
It's just kind of there, really.
Okay. I used to have a centre parting years ago, and then I went no parting at all, just kind of combed straight back, and now I've gone for like a side parting.
Yeah, that's a good one. Slightly off-centre, which apparently is a favourite with the Duchess of Cambridge, so you're in good company.
That's who I obviously modelled myself on.
She obviously saw you,
yes.
And that will take 4 years off of your appearance.
Really?
Yeah, but the winner was parting on the right, and that will take off 5 years, and a zigzag. You know, have you seen those where they...
How can you have a zigzag parting?
I've seen them do it with a comb, and it just looks like a zigzag instead of a centre parting. I mean, I'm sure it's the first thing to disappear as soon as it gets windy.
Yeah.
But that will take a couple of years off, you know. So if you're already feeling a little bit youthful, you just want to...
So I've got the right parting, so I'm doing all
you
right.
Have, yeah,
five
you're
years
doing,
off.
Yeah, you're doing very well.
Gosh, imagine how bad I would look without the right parting. If that's the case, I'd look ancient. Brilliant. Anything else in the papers today?
Something that caught my eye, it was just a very small story, but it was a study done by Direct Line. 75% of drivers would fail a resit of their driving
test.
Yeah,
this doesn't surprise me.
It doesn't surprise me. Now, I was reading through it, and there were some key things that people were failing on. One of them was driving 40 and a 30. Obviously, that's bad. But some of the other things were which made me chuckle was one was a lady failed to see the curb on a three-point turn. Now, I don't know if it's just me, but I use the curb as an indicator. Three-point turns, parkings, when I nudge the curb, that's the time to move off and try again. So I don't know. I don't know if obviously it's, and I love that we have a stringent, you know, driving test. But yeah, I would probably definitely fail.
I think I would probably fail. Well, you get into bad habits, don't you? That's the thing. I mean, you know, that whole kind of crossing your arms over on the steering wheel. I don't think you're actually allowed to do that. Or just one hand
just
on the steering wheel. And that whole thing where you're on the phone. I think that's frowned upon.
Texting.
I'm kidding.
Well,
I'm kidding.
There was the guy in the... paper, I don't know if it was yesterday or today, a truck driver that they caught, and I don't think that they prosecuted him because he was over from France. He was on a Skype video conversation.
That's
driving his truck. I mean, that's crazy.
I remember once being on the M25 though, looking across, and I saw a lorry driver. He was watching a film.
No.
Yeah, no, he was. He was watching a film as he was driving along. And I mean, that can't be.
That's not
no,
good.
No, that's not good. That can't be wise. Yeah, it's an interesting one. Would I? I don't know. I wouldn't fancy.
Were you a good driver?
Resisting.
Did you pass first time?
No, fourth time.
Yeah, I was.
For me.
I was the second, and I was in tears because I was adamant that I'd failed. And then he shouted at me. He passed, but then gave me some stern warnings by why it was a slim margin.
To be fair, the one I passed, my fourth test, was taken in London on the North Circular Road. And anyone who knows the North Circular Road will know that you don't actually move that much, which may have been the key to my success. That's all I'm saying. We were talking about this story yesterday, One Direction and their drug shame, as a lot of the papers are referring to it today. Of course, again, across the papers today... Are you as outraged, Amy, by the tabloids, by this leaked video showing two members of One Direction smoking what appears to be a suspicious-looking cigarette and joking about illegal drugs?
Yeah, if I'm honest, me personally, I'm not, because... Well, because I know that it's the sort of thing that people that age do, they experiment with, they play around with. And this is my personal take on it, and I know you think I'll be really cynical here, but my questions are, why was the video taken? And if the video was taken by someone in the band, how was it then leaked? Like, I've just got suspicions that maybe they want to shed their clean-cut image, and maybe this was a deliberate...
Oh, really? This has been done deliberately?
I have that feeling that...
To show they've almost kind of grown up.
Yeah.
We're not that squeaky, clean-cut boy band anymore.
Because in the video, they're criticising the merchandise for sometimes being a bit too girly and a bit too... I think they use the term girly and a bit too clean cut, and so they open up with, as soon as the video starts with, oh, what what do you think of this or something? And the other one says, oh, it's going to be a bit controversial. So I don't know, maybe it's just...
You're so cynical, Amy, so cynical. I mean, I'm not convinced it's done deliberately because there's now talk that this could be a real problem for them in the States. Leading US marketing expert David Lieberman quoted here as saying this could be a nightmare for One Direction in the USA. Whether they are convicted or not, the Immigration Services are very eagle-eyed when it comes to drug matters. We've seen it with Justin Bieber here too. One Direction, if the story continues to grow, could be faced with problems entering the USA. They are a big group, but not bigger than the law out here. There is a potential scenario where they may not be allowed in the country. They may have to cancel tours, appearances and premieres. With their media machine, we're looking at this costing them as much as $50 million.
Wow. Yeah, so I suppose, I mean, you know, if you think about the potential backlash, you know, it could be detrimental to them. I mean, they're all over the papers. It does get them publicity. The other thing that I was thinking about is, what is their personal responsibility to have this image and to maintain this image if it isn't their own personal image, if you know what I mean? Do they have a professional, you know, we are a clean-cut band, that's our brand of the band, you know, so we have to maintain that? Or are they allowed to say, but that's not really me, you know? I don't know. It's tricky. And to be growing up in front of millions of people, where, you know, this is...
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they were teenagers. Yeah. They were teenage boys when they went on The X Factor. They were then put into this group.
Yeah.
They're now worth an estimated £14 million wow. each. That level of wealth and that level of fame when you're so young...
And I mean, scrutiny.
It's a huge amount of pressure. Absolutely. Obviously, some drug charities have said they fear that this footage will drive kids to drugs. We should be clear now. It hasn't been said for certain whether or not this suspicious-looking cigarette does actually contain cannabis or not. One Direction themselves have made no comment, neither have their management. We should also point out that Louis and Zayn weren't actually breaking any laws when this footage was taken because they were in Peru at the time, and a small amount of marijuana in that country is legal. Some critics have said, well, hang on, would fans have been happier had the boys been seen enjoying a beer, when actually there's that argument that alcohol kills far more people than cannabis ever had. When we discussed it on the show yesterday, I had a chap phone up who said, yeah, that's what the big deal is. I smoked cannabis as a youngster. I've told my now teenage daughter about it. It's not something that particularly concerns me. And obviously I had to give the other argument that obviously, you know, there has been evidence that cannabis has been linked with mental health issues, and it is obviously something a lot of parents are concerned about. A lot of fans worried about it. We saw pictures today in the papers of youngsters burning their One Direction concert tickets.
And actually, do you know what? I can relate to that sense of upset because I remember being, I would only be about 6 or 7, and I was out playing on the field at the back of my house, and I caught my eldest brother, who was 16, and I just idolised him. And I caught him smoking a cigarette. And I could tell it was obviously no big deal to him, but to me, that rocked my world.
Aww.
I was absolutely gutted.
You felt let down.
I couldn't even play football. I just had to go and sit with my ball and just think about it.
Amy Harrison is taking a look through the papers for us today. I noticed that in the Daily Mirror, they've got an interview with Louis Tomlinson's dad. Headline reads, Louis, Dad, I fear for my son over drugs. Louis Tomlinson's dad said last night he feared for his son after the One Direction star was filmed, apparently smoking something slightly suspicious. He obviously isn't in touch with his son anymore because otherwise they wouldn't let him speak, surely.
Yeah, I also think as well, that must be so hard for the parents of an internationally successful boy band because they must be out of reach, you know, at that age. If they're off touring, probably don't have like that day-to-day input from your parents.
Yeah, well, it says here Troy, 45, recalled one of the last conversations he had with the superstar before he hit the big time, where Louis vowed never to have tattoos or smoke. He said he would never get a tattoo because it was a scar, and he would never smoke because it would damage his vocal cords. He's gone the opposite way, and I hope it doesn't get worse. He's obviously not in touch with his son anymore. I remember seeing a documentary on One Direction, and one of the saddest bits that really stuck in my mind was, I can't remember which of the boys, but one of the boys' mothers had a cardboard cutout of her son.
I saw that because she saw that more often.
Yeah, because she never gets to see her boy. And that really touched me. I thought, my gosh, because that's her little boy.
Yeah.
He's gone on this talent show, and then it's almost like he's been swept up into another world. And as you say, almost out of her reach.
Yeah,
must be.
And at those really informative years where normally, you know, they would probably be studying at college, at home. I mean, obviously, they've done incredibly well for themselves.
Yeah,
but that's got to be...
that sorry for them. They've got £40 million each. I mean, just, you know, my heart bleeds.
Yeah, they're missing their mum's Sunday lunch.
But, you know, I feel more for the parents. Yeah. I do, actually. I just think it must be quite tough to see your child going through stuff and you're not able to necessarily be there to
Well, I think also as well to watch from afar and know that they will be, you know, I mean, they weren't the only ones in the car with the video. There's a good sort of four other adults, you know, like grown men in that car. And it must be difficult as a parent to think, I know that my kids are surrounded by influential figures, but I didn't handpick them. You know, like I have no say over what people are telling them to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we shall see what happens with that one.
Yeah.
I like this next story you found. This is something I can relate to about garages.
Yeah, so apparently half of Britain's garages are now used as storage. Do you have a garage?
I do.
Do you keep your car in
it? No, the car's never been in our garage. And I think that is how it is for a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have a garage at the moment, but growing up, we always had one, and I don't think we ever had a car in it. And it makes me think, you know, when you're getting insurance and it says to you, you know, where will your car be stored? And if you have a garage, you're going to click garage. I'm wondering if now the insurance companies will have an extra question saying, really?
Yeah,
what's
you
in your
really
garage now?
In your garage? That's so funny. Yeah, my mum and dad, same thing. They've got a garage. Yeah. I've never seen the car in there.
No.
I mean, it's a bit of a faff for a start to put your car in the garage.
And also,
where are you going to put all your junk?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it feels a bit like wasted space because if your car's not in there, then there's all that storage. I mean, as a kid, you know, your garage was just this jungle of junk. I mean, you didn't know what you were going to find in there. You didn't know what you were going to, you know, fall over or get stuck under. It was just excitement.
Our garage is such a mess at the moment that if you open the door, it's like home base threw up on you. Literally. I mean, it just all comes flying out.
Well, this is one of the things, because they were listing, you know, what people stored in their garages. And, you know, and it was mostly the usual DIY tools, decorating kits, ladders, gardening equipment. And then this one, about 42%, I think, of people, or it was quite a high number, scrap wood.
Yeah, I've got loads of random bits of wood in our garage. That's so true. Because you think, oh, what should I do with this?
Yeah.
Put it in the garage.
Yep.
And if in doubt, stick it out there.
Because, and that's the thing with wood, is that you kind of look at it and you think, oh, that could be useful. That could be a shelf. That could be a coffee table.
No.
We know inside it will never be any of those
Absolutely.
Things. It will
but
be scrap wood in the garage.
You just can't bring yourself to throw it away. That is so funny. I've got so much stuff like that. Old tiles, you know, leftover bits of laminate. Oh, don't chuck it.
Just in case you get a chip.
Yes.
You need to replace one tile.
Yeah, you just feel bad throwing it away. I'd love to hear from you on this. What have you got lurking in your garage? Have you got a car in there? Don't be ridiculous. Who does that these days? Call me 03459 570057. I'm joined in the studio by Amy Harrison, a copywriter and content trainer from Brighton, here to take a look through the papers. I was just sharing with you this email I've received. I'm not sure if it's a Mickey take or not. It's from someone called Keith, and he wants me to help with his university thesis. He's at Newcastle University. He's doing a thesis as part of his sports science degree for teaching. He wants to know how tall I am, what my feet size is, whether I participated in team sports or individual sports at school, how I would rate my balance, agility and posture on a scale of 1 to 5, and whether or not I have a regular exercise regime.
How do you rate your balance? Like, how many times you fall over in a day?
If that's the case, not good, I think. I'm not really sure. How do you rate your balance on a scale of 1 to 5? I'm not sure. But Keith, I don't know if it's for real or not. He reckons so far the following celebrities have replied and have answered his questions. Kay Burley, Susie Perry, Gabby Logan, Susanna Reid, when she's not on the red carpet with Tom. Edwina Curry's replied, as has Fiona Bruce, Jackie Smith, former Home Secretary, Sian Williams, Sarah Brown, Annabelle Croft, she's on the list. Well, if Annabelle Croft's done it,
I'm in good company.
Yeah. I'll have to get onto that in a in a short while. Also, the emails I received, quite random. We're taking a look through the papers today. I like this, a list of the foods that you can actually get away with eating, mm-hmm. even though they say they are past their sell-by date.
Yeah, so I saw this article today. Now, granted, I didn't check the lady who wrote it her credentials, so right. It could just be personal preference. Don't take this as gospel.
If they've heard it on this show, they won't. Don't worry.
So it starts off quite light. Tomatoes. Tomatoes are good for apparently a week after, even if they're a little bit wrinkly.
Yeah, I'd eat a tomato if it's gone past the use by date. I wouldn't worry.
No
too
real
much
danger
about
there.
That, no.
Now, fish fillets apparently 4 weeks after catching. Are okay. That's something I would be less likely to take
with. I'd be a little bit cautious with fish.
I would like it caught maybe that day before.
Yeah, a month after.
Yeah.
Start to smell. And don't they say that's the way you tell? Fish actually shouldn't smell fishy,
no.
should it, if it's fresh?
And they always, my dad worked in the fishing industry, so we always had plenty of fish. And apparently one of the key things is if you see them on ice, their eye should be clear. So
okay.
if the eye is cloudy, it's not that fresh.
Because actually, I'm not sure the smell test really works with fish, because I've cooked fresh fish before and your house does still stink for days.
Yeah.
I mean, I've actually stopped making fish pie because I cannot cope with the smell. I mean, it just lingers.
Yeah, I remember my housemate wasn't very well and I decided to cook some kippers and she could have killed me because you can't get away from it.
I mean, if you're feeling a little bit poorly,
a little bit peaky,
the last thing you need to do is
I offered to share it with her, but that didn't help. So
what else makes the list?
This one made me laugh because ice cream is good for 3 months but no longer.
Really? Oh, I've had ice cream in my freezer for months and it's been okay.
You've had it in for months. I'm impressed with your willpower.
It's lasted that long.
Pate and sausages are things that you don't really want to mess around with, than a day. You know, anything kind of like that. Yeah,
pate, you've got to be a little bit careful with anyway, I think.
Eggs are about 3 weeks.
Well, eggs, you can do that thing, can't you, where you put them in water.
Exactly.
I never know, though, if they float, what does that mean? They're okay or they're not?
They're not.
They're not.
They're not. Yeah, you don't want it floating because I think that means it's got air in and something's gone wrong.
Ah, okay.
Yogurt. Now, this one, yogurt, 2 months after the sell-by.
No way.
I wouldn't risk that.
No, although that is the one thing I do end up throwing out.
Yeah, I do.
Quite often, especially the kids, you know, those little yogurts and fromage frais.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even
anything
give it to
kind
them a
of
day
dairy-ish
after.
Or
yeah, I just think you're asking for trouble.
Yeah, beef apparently is good for up to 5 weeks. And mind you, I do have to say, in this article, she was talking about wiping off mouldy spots and saying that that was fine. I'm not sure I would be.
No.
I don't think I'd want to go around to hers for a come dine with me experience.
I don't think so.
Flour and spices, they're good for about 6 months, and chicken, not more than a couple of days. Because chicken's a funny one as well, because they talk about like the smell, sometimes if it. I mean, I always err on the side of caution. Because I once had food poisoning from chicken and
it
was
horrific.
It's not
a pleasant experience.
No.
I've had that. It's not good. It was all my fault. I tried to make a Jamie Oliver jerk chicken recipe and it all
technically it was Jamie's fault for having such a tasty recipe.
I've never forgiven Jamie Oliver. Amy Harrison here with me, Alison Ferns, on BBC Sussex and BBC Surrey, taking a look through the papers. This article caught my eye, you'll see why. The secret of my sizzling sex life, making my husband do the housework. This woman is from West Sussex. I'm going to see if we can get her on the show next week, see if she's got any more top tips for us. I've tweeted her. I'm so down with the kids.
Oh, wow.
See if we can get her to come on. Thank you ever so much for coming in, Amy. One last story before the news at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, just very quickly. So, apparently, this caught my eye. Women with husky voices are less likely to be hired in job interviews.
Really?
Yeah, which caught my eye because I've got a bit of a low range myself. But they're not actually talking about pitch. They're talking about this thing called vocal fry. Have you heard of that?
No.
It's apparently an epidemic with teens in the States who try and imitate like celebrities like Kim Kardashian or Britney Spears. And it's that croaky, guttural thing that apparently is rife. And they did a test. They ran a series of tests of who would be recruited, who wouldn't. And people that had that as a natural kind of inflection.
Fair enough.
Didn't get the job.
I don't think I'd give a job to anyone who was impersonating Kim Kardashian, but hey, that's just me.